434-1790-266-4862, brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. And I am told I'm joined on the line by the Minister of Transport, Works and Water Resources, Ian Goodenagel. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to Dennis and listeners.
Thank you for joining us. The situation in Warrens. I started with it this morning and I was told that you wanted to make a statement, do some clarification, share some information with us on what exactly happened there and the reasons for the change back.
No. Thank you very much for the opportunity to call into the program and obviously good afternoon to your listeners. Mm-hmm. It's a simple matter, frankly. There is a policy in the ministry whenever there's a traffic change, and that traffic change could be disruptive to the public, the matter should be referred to the permanent secretary, and the permanent secretary should inform the minister, who will then make a determination whether the matter should be referred to the cabinet of Barbados or that the minister will make a policy decision. The matter was never discussed with the permanent secretary, and I was never informed as minister. Therefore, there was a breach in terms of the policy. Like I said, it was a breach. The policy was unfollowed. I was deeply troubled by it. And I accordingly advised the permanent secretary to go back to the original position in respect of the right turn. That is the one, the right turn from the Everton Weeks roundabout going to Bridgestone. Mm-hmm. The PS, because as you would appreciate, a minister cannot direct the staff, but certainly the minister directs the PS or advises the PS. So that was done, which would therefore allow motorists to make the right turn onto the Dome Mall, as it was drawn to my attention that there was significant backup on that, especially the path from the Everton Weeks roundabout going back to Huddersfield. Mm-hmm. This was untenable. Obviously, this is a country that focuses on productivity, and the sooner we can have smooth traffic flow or traffic flowing as quickly as possible, that would be in the country's best interest. So I did indicate as well that there will be no change to the left turn as you exit the Eunice Gibson Polyclinic. The reason for that, we didn't want traffic to be crossing over what you call traffic again. So that remains unchanged. The issue, obviously, is that you must have, and you would appreciate this, Dennis, that you must have consultation with motorists and with various partners. There are small business people in that area who depend on the flow of traffic for their income. You also have businesses in the area, but you also had motorists who were significantly disadvantaged. And, you know, this action was taken without consultation with the various partners, and that is contrary to my ministry's policy of full disclosure to the public, especially when major changes are being undertaken. Only last Friday, you had Linda Holder from the Transport Board, again, consistent with our mission, full disclosure. So we had to go back to the position. I so advised the PS. The PS arranged a team, and the painting crew from the ministry was on site last night. I passed through the area to observe what was going on, and I thought that the team did a magnificent job. And I really want to compliment the what I refer to as the maintenance crew responsible for all the road signage that we have on the island, because they worked through the night. A lot of people don't know that in Barbados, but they worked through the night and to get things done. And they were busy with all the crossings, painting all the crossings for the school signs and all the markings that they had to do. Mm-hmm. So that is it in summary. And like I said, any change that we have to make, we have to communicate and maintain effective communication with the motorists and particularly the traveling public.
So that's why I wanted to engage you on this, Minister, because sure. I have in my hand a message that was sent from the Ministry of Transport, Works and Water Resources, dated the 28th of August. It was sent to all the radio stations. And it said, please trade the following for the Ministry of Transport, Works and Water Resources, effective Monday, August 31st to Friday, September 4th at 3 a.m. at least four times a day. And it says, yours faithfully, Joyanne Kelly, for permanent secretary. And it says, the public is asked to note that road markings will be painted in the Greenhill Warrens area during the week of August 31st to September 3rd. This is a venture by the Ministry of Transport, Works and Water Resources to provide better guidance for traffic flow and pedestrian safety. Motorists are asked to observe the signage and the changes in the road markings in the area. Now, this was sent out to the radio stations. There were obviously signs made and posted in the Greenhill area. And this was done contrary to policy?
That is correct. The issue, and let me tell you, let me take you back. Mm-hmm. There is a policy, and the policy existed before I became Minister of Public Works, Transport, and Minister of Transport and Works and Water Resources, okay? Mm-hmm. That came before me. Let me repeat it. The policy stipulates that whenever there are traffic changes which may be disruptive to the public, the matter must be referred to the Permanent Secretary. The Permanent Secretary then informs the Minister. The Minister will make a determination whether to refer the matter to the Cabinet of Barbados or the Minister makes the policy decision. I can assure you, Mr. Mark Cummins is a very competent Permanent Secretary. Mr. Mark Cummins had no sight of it. When Mr. Mark Cummins was away on holiday, his deputy acted, Michael Wason, acted as Permanent Secretary, and Mr. Wason never drew it to my attention, and he was never aware of it. So all I'm saying, it is a very simple, it was clearly a breach of policy. It never went through the appropriate channels, and I must confess that I'm deeply troubled and concerned. I will also tell you that as minister, we have what we refer to every Monday, a weekly ministers management meeting, where issues are discussed, from time to time. But I can tell you and assure you categorically. Now, I will internally ask for a report to make a determination where there was a breakdown. The issue is not to penalize, because I certainly can't do it, and the issue is not to pass blame. The issue basically is to come to the public and advise the public that clearly there was a breakdown in policy. That breach in policy resulted in a situation which was totally unacceptable and untenable, and we moved with alacrity. Yep. To institute the change. I had the good fortune this morning to observe the change. Traffic is flowing very freely on the highway. I had a look at the Greenhill area as well, and I also asked for reports on it, and today they have advised me that traffic is flowing freely. So these things happen, but when such matters occur, the important thing is to be proactive and institute change.
And I want to ask you another question again, Minister, if I may. And it concerns my concern about that general Warrens area. I said this morning when I started the program that I have always had concerns about that Warrens area. And as it becomes more of a hub of commercial activity in Barbados, it's becoming of even greater concern. So as we move away from Greenhill and you move further along the highway, that area in front of Simpson Motors, Saul, CGI, again, the same thing you mentioned about coming out of the Eunice Bayer Polyclinic and turning right across two sets of traffic. You have the same thing occurring coming out of Chaffette, same thing occurring coming out of the service station. I've often wondered why, when those changes were done, and I know it wasn't under your government or even under your ministry at the time, the multiple roundabouts that have been introduced into the area has not solved the problem in that Warrens area. The entrance to that service station should be up somewhere where the entrance to Kentucky is, and the exit, the entrance and the exit being where they are, two, three lanes of traffic crisscrossing. Now with COVID, with less persons operating the pumps there, it's a popular service station. It is chaotic at the best of times. And coming out of CGI, people turn right, coming out of Chaffette, they turn right, right into a roundabout, where the traffic isn't flowing. It's chaos.
Yes, and there's an element of chaos, but what needs to happen is that we must engineer a comprehensive review of the traffic flow in that area. And that is a matter that is currently engaging the attention. I'm having preliminary discussions with the Permanent Secretary with a view to how we address that matter. Now, you will also respect the fact that planning permission and approvals would have been given to businesses in that area.
Yes, sir.
So we can't cross that line because planning permission would have been granted and obviously all the agencies would have been consulted. But as we develop as a country, we're going to have to look and see how best we can improve the traffic flow across Barbados. That's an area that will obviously come in for some review. At a later date, I can't tell you specifically the date we will announce, but we will have some major announcements coming with respect to traffic flow. But we are doing our work behind the scenes, and once we're in a position to come to the public, once we have all the facts and we've done all the modeling and all the studies, and once we've engaged in dialogue and consultation with all players, residents, motorists, business owners, small business people, and the like, we will then come back. But I do take your point, and at a later date, of course, I'll probably have an announcement for you.
Thank you. Now, the final one that I have for you, Minister, concerns the Sunday Sun article that says confusion over vehicle stickers. The question of who is responsible? Some insurance companies have said they will continue to try to obtain the stickers for vehicles. Can you give us a definite statement of, is the BRA responsible? Is the Ministry of Public Works and Transport through the offices of DePine responsible, or insurance companies responsible for getting the stickers and the disc for cars once the insurance has been paid?
Okay, Dennis, what I will do for you, let me take a brief from the Permanent Secretary. Okay. Once I've received that brief, I'll be happy to return to the program next week if you like.
Okay.
Or later this week if, you know, if once I have the time. But let me take a brief from the Permanent Secretary. When I am in receipt of that brief, then I will return to your program and I'll be happy to discuss all aspects. Now, the one thing I don't do as a government minister, I can't adopt approach of having policy on the go or policy on the run. And therefore, if you take that point of view, you, with respect, I will ask that we resume sometime once I've had that brief, if that's okay with you.
That is fine with me, sir. I have heard that particular statement from no less a person than Primus Inter Pares, who said you should not make policy decisions on the fly. So I understand I understand why you would. I wasn't asking you to. I was just drawing it to your attention. But we will look forward to hearing from you on that subject, sir.
Because you know, I've only been on the job for a few weeks, and there's a lot of ground to cover, and there's a lot of work that we're doing. But I want to reiterate one thing I said to you earlier, that my view and my position always will be, and the ministry's policy is full disclosure to the public. So you don't have anything to be afraid of. If there's anything connected to any of the departments I have responsibility for, I've already made it very clear to them, certainly at management meetings when we meet. Engage the public, get on the call-in programs, respond to any issues. We have to practice. We came to office as a government on the basis of transparency, and we have to practice what we preach. And therefore, when I allude to the fact that Linda Holder was on your call-in program last Friday, that was part of the mandate, and you will see more of that coming through. And if there are any areas where you believe you're not getting cooperation, don't hesitate to ask your producers or to contact me. And I'll be more than willing to ensure that through the PS that the persons attend and communicate, because that's, you know, we have to do it.
Got to ask you this one, although I said it was last, I got to ask you this one. Since it was a breach of protocol, who's paying for all those changes at Warren's?
That's a very mischievous comment, Dennis. I will not respond to that. Remember, I told you, I'm not in the habit of pulling...
people accountable, you can't, I know.
No, and remember, the minister doesn't direct the staff.
Remember, yes, sir.
I advise the PS, my principal advisor and the chief accounting office in the ministry, and... he's a tower of strength, and I always take advice, okay?
I am sure as a private citizen, Ian Goodenagel will know that he has to pull his pocket to pay for this too. Perhaps you should tell him so.
Well, you know, I pull my pocket and I help my constituents.
That's true. That is true. I want to thank you, sir, for taking the time off to join us, and I will hold you to the promise of keeping us informed and engaging with us when you have the opportunity so to do. And I thank you for joining us again today, sir.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And thank you to your listeners, please.
Thank you, sir. That's the Minister of Transport, Works and Water Resources, the Honorable Ian Gooden-Edgell, responding to some queries about the situation at Greenhill and the couple others I tried to throw into the mix. The Ministry of Transport, Works and Water Resources is an integral part of the commercial life of Barbados. There are several areas in Barbados where road traffic regulations have changed over the years, and we have increased traffic on the road. And apart from those that I said, where people blatantly break the regulations, the changes made to our roadworks, there's ongoing work on the Ronald Map Highway, the changes in the Cullamarock area where the road has been, surface has been greatly improved, but the behavior of traffic continues to be a problem. I don't think as a country we could afford the fender benders and the replacements of parts and the other things that happen. Yeah, we got nice new air-conditioned buses, and we could always put down the cars and catch the bus. But, yeah, they still cost money. So thank you for making those comments, sir. We go to the latest, and we'll be back with more of your calls. Stay with us. 434-1790-266-4862 is the WhatsApp number where you can send a message, or brasstax@starcomnetwork.net is the email address. Michelle Braffett is taking care of things technical. I'm Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 o'clock. It's over to you. Good afternoon. Yeah, usually the lunch break puts people to sleep, I think. 4341-790. If you get closer to your phones, if you were on wait and holding for a while, notice there's some 37, 30 minutes. So that's quite a wait for some. 18 and some shorter ones. So somebody should still be there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Am I on there?
Yes, you are. It is you.
I heard the earlier this morning, y'all were speaking about the traffic arrangement at
Greenhill.
The Wildy Way.
Oh, the Wildy Way, yeah, that one. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, I heard Wesley was saying that there's nothing wrong in going up by the
SJPP.
SJPP and coming around. Man, that is so perfect. I agree with that 100%. Number one, in other countries, sometimes you got to travel longer distance to make the turn. Sometimes if you lose your turn, you got to travel miles in order to get back on.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at that traffic arrangement, you know, it's set out like a roundabout. I don't know if you observe that. Despite the fact that it is not wrong, all wrong like the others, it's set out that when you come down by the gas station, not the one below, the other one.
The Sol or the Arubis?
The
Rubis or the Sol? The Sol. Mm-hmm.
You still gain where the traffic on your right.
Mm-hmm. On your left.
When you get down by the other gas station, now this is the Rubis one,
mm-hmm.
You still gain where the traffic on your right.
Mm-hmm.
But you know when you get up now to the one coming down the ET Hill, is gain where the traffic on your left.
Left. That Wildy Way is actually one of the largest roundabouts in Barbados, because it is a roundabout.
It
put the one at the St. Thomas Parish Church in the shade, which is a fairly large one.
Or St.
Lucy's one. But no, the thing about that Wildy Way, though, is that what you say, right, makes absolute sense. Let me say that to you first off, about the distances when we go overseas that we have to travel before we get to an exit. The problem is in Barbados, we apparently don't think it's necessary to do that. Which is why I was telling the minister, for example, if you come out of Chaffet in Warrens or the CGI building, the distance to the roundabout in front of KFC is what? 20 yards? 30 yards? I could walk it slowly in less than 5 minutes. But rather than go to that roundabout, go around and come back into the flow of traffic to get to the roundabout in front of the service station to continue up to, if you want to go towards the university, or if you want to go to the Royal Map Highway, or if you want to go around to go down to, you know, the ABC Highway. Rather than do that, people cut across the lanes of traffic, stuck for 15 or more minutes sometimes, less time than it would take to drive to the roundabout and drive around. And I'm sitting looking at it and going, why? Why? The distance is less than 30 yards.
Exactly.
Two car lengths, three car lengths. But rather than go up to the roundabout and go around, you're going to cut across traffic, tie it up for countless minutes because you want to turn right. It doesn't make sense.
Don't make any sense at all.
When I saw the construction going on in that area, and I looked at the Salt service station and the entrance to KFC, I said, why isn't the entrance to the service station up here? Why do you have to come around and turn right across lanes of traffic to get in there? It don't make sense, but you know, it making dollars for somebody, I guess.
But it don't make sense. When you come now, Robert, really, for a person, you know that every driver either coming from Upton.
That's the one that worries me, sir.
God be continuing looking back to see if something coming down.
That's the one that worries me, sir. I'll tell you why it worries me. If you live in the Upton area, I know they're going to have many people there. And for Georgia, I suppose they have helicopter arrangements. But if you live in that area, to get out of that area, if you have an emergency, you know how complicated it is to get out of that area?
Extremely complicated.
Every way you try, if you try to cut across the gym, if you try to go across the back to go through to come out by Sergeant's Village, it's complicated to get out of that area if you had an emergency. But,
But I take it that something should have been done, because this year was done, I think, around 2009.
Somewhere there.
When the, don't forget that the Sobers roundabout was enlarged, and the road was widened to give way to two lanes of traffic coming from Rendezvous Hill, or two lanes going towards Rendezvous Hill out of the roundabout. And this is how the traffic change was done. But I believe at the time, I don't think that they had really studied out properly how they had done to the one there coming down BET Hill. Should never be out there.
That space between the area coming out of Upton and the Y, the fork in the road there, is the shortest place where you have four lanes of traffic crisscrossing each other. The only reason I think they don't have more accidents there is because we got some drivers that have learned their lessons the hard way about crashing into the ends of people's cars. Because, that's a ticklish spot, sir. Bye with you on it. Bye with you on it, sir.
All right, sir.
Thank you as well. Brastex, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Hello.
Good afternoon. I tried to find out where can I relocate, where can I find the place that you're going to sign up. So if you want a job in government, I think that's can't remember the name now. But if you want to get you with a job in government.
What kind of job in government are you talking about?
Like with the schools and things like that. Janitors, cleaning.
Why don't you ask the Ministry of Education to direct you? I think they might be the best person. I know from time to time, when you listen to opportunity calls, they will tell you where to direct some of your inquiries. I'm trying to remember the name of the place as you speak to me, and it isn't coming to me quickly. So when I remember it, I'll let you know.
The Saudi resources from place, the office of the resource, I think that's what the teacher tell me.
That's what the teacher told you?
Yeah, but I don't know if that was in Columbia Rock or they move it up to Warren.
Let me tell you what to do, right? Call the Ministry of Education. Ask them.
Are you not even getting through to them?
Really?
Do you have a direct number to them?
No, ma'am, I don't.
You don't? Mm-hmm. Nobody directory, not even getting through.
Somebody will answer me sooner or later on WhatsApp or something, and I'll let you know.
The resource
service
center.
Commissions, okay. The person say, but I don't think that's what it is. The service commission?
Or the
that's
resource
what it is?
Center.
Or the resource center. And you don't have the numbers for those?
I don't have the numbers for those, and I don't know where the office is because
all right.
I'm willing to
go to okay. Is there a constituency office of a parliamentarian in your area?
And they don't have it open. I was there after Monday, and like, they don't have it open.
Personnel Administration Division, I am told. You know, sooner or later, somebody might tell me the number too if they're really smart. But if I get the information, if you keep listening, I'll pass it on to you. That's the best I could do from where I sit.
Okay, thank you.
Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello? 434-1790, Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Dennis.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I am doing all right.
I'm a bit late because of
you had business today to do.
Personal business.
Uh-huh.
Now, I want you this morning to play the role of King Solomon, and I want you to play the role of Magistry. You
did.
Don't call you Sir Dennis or Dennis, so
did.
Therefore you're not going to be a magistrate, you're going to be a judge. So I want you,
boss man,
not
be careful.
To allow any person to influence you and take the evidence as I produce to you in its perspective. So
yes, sir.
You can bring a fair judgment.
Yes, sir.
Now let me get on. Mm-hmm. First, I'm going to preface by asking you a question. If I went down by Cave Shepherd and I get annoyed because some clerk or somebody in the store did not treat me the way I felt I should be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a couple of stones and damage the property. Then I go to court. I was arrested and go to court. I am being charged with the damage of the property. Could I say I did it because those people had treated me?
No.
Good. Well, I rest my case.
No.
I got pursued now in my case. Now, first, let me put this one out of the picture. I had to defend the Prime Minister Friday night exactly as white stuff. I was at a bar. I don't drink. Give the fellas a drink. And I went into a conversation with them where they arrested me and asked me how come that the Prime Minister could be so quick to want to restore a building 300 years ago and the building is supposed to be owned by some person who they considered as wealthy. Now, I had to explain to them it is not the wealth of the person, it is the history of the building. Now, let me go on for my experience.
Hold on, wait, don't move from there. What gave them the impression that the Prime Minister won't do it?
Well, you know, what people pick up that that is
correct.
Their opinion.
Correct. And so here's the thing. As the Prime Minister of the country, as the person who I think, unless she's handed it off to someone, I think Marsha Cattle, maybe the person who is directly responsible for town planning matters. But I am sure the interest in preservation of the history and the development of Spuytstown, et cetera, from an economic point of view, I think Marsha is also the minister in the Ministry of Finance.
Yeah,
so,
I got that one.
So therefore, what the Prime Minister may very well do is to ensure that there's supposed to be a Spuytstown development plan, or when Arthur, I think, used to talk about the special incentives, et cetera, for that area. All she do is make sure that, you know, the person is aware of this and that if they're restoring the building, it is done in a manner that is, you know, blends with the historic nature and not lick it down, which is what we're happy to do from time to time.
right, I have no qualms pertaining to that.
Yeah, he thinks you can put taxpayers'
money in. The point that I say that she is right, we are dealing with tourism.
Yeah.
And if you are dealing with tourism, you have to have the history mm-hmm. of the country. Now, I say that to say this. Now, I went to Nicholas Abbey, and you hear me on this air more than one time.
Mm-hmm.
Told parents, their friends and boyfriends, it may cost a little dollars travel to Nicholas Abbey. And it's going to be refreshing and give you a historical background mm-hmm. of the style of life there. Now, I say that I read the book. Now, if the building was 300 years old, it means it had to belong to a slave owner prior, because slavery was abandoned in 18-something. Can't remember the exact date. And this is 2020. And if it's 300 years old, that building would have had to